ASC Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASC Credit Union, 9 locations, or online at yourasecu.com.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Montgomery fire officials are investigating a late-night house fire. This happened in the 2600 block of Westwood Drive. People were home at the time but made it out safely. Fire crews tell us the home is a total loss. No injuries were reported. Montgomery police say a man was injured after someone shot into his car. This happened in the 1100 block of Bragg Street yesterday afternoon. The man is expected to be okay, but so far police have not made any arrests. And several North Alabama massage parlors have been shut down after state police say they were fronts for human trafficking. Attorney General Steve Marshall says employees at Ty Green's Massage Therapy had to work long hours and some were expected to engage in sex acts with guests. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Sri Lanka's defense minister says seven suspects are now in custody after a series of explosions killed more than 200 people.
On what should have been the most joyful day in the Christian calendar, volunteers carried away worshipers, both wounded and dead.
Democrats drawing battle lines against the president, saying they'll decide soon whether they will pursue impeachment proceedings in the wake of the Mueller report.
That tiger attack under investigation in Kansas, zoo officials say the handler that was attacked is in intensive care, but talking to authorities,
the curse of La Llorona reached the top of box office charts, earning $26.5 million.
Well, he rose to fame playing a president on television, and now a comedian is poised to become the next president of Ukraine.
Now we come to James, our champion. $80,006, and now you have a total of $851,926 for 12 days.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Monday, starting your week out right. Let me bring my in-studio guest in, friend of the show, candidate for mayor in this great city of Montgomery, Artur Davis. Artur, welcome back, my friend.
Dan, thank you, Joe. Good to talk to you guys today. You know, I was saying before we went on the air, I'm not quite sure how we're going to get from the deep state to Mayor Montgomery, but I know you're a seasoned host and you'll get us there.
We can do that. Pivoting is what I do so well. Let's talk about the race. First of all, what's different about your race this time versus 4 years ago?
Well, Mayor Strange is now running, to be candid with you. 4 years ago, the mayor was running, and, you know, without bogging down on political process, I know most of your folks want to hear about issues today, it is a big difference when you have an incumbent running in a race. And I have great respect for Mayor Strange. I obviously don't agree with him on everything. I wouldn't run against him, but I have great respect for him. He was in a very strong position 4 years ago, ran a very good campaign 4 years ago. It was very well financed as an incumbent. And by definition, when you're running against an incumbent, no matter what kind of campaign you want to run, you end up having a conversation about the past. So we spent a lot of time talking about things that he had or had not done as mayor, decisions that he had made, and it was not as future-focused a campaign as I would have wanted it to be. Well, with the mayor gracefully retiring this time, and a number of us running for mayor, to put it mildly, this is a conversation about this city's future. And that's the biggest difference I'm noticing when I go out to talk to neighborhoods, which we do every few days, when I talk to regular folks in the gas station, the barbershop, the stores. People aren't asking me, what do you think about this thing that happened 3 years ago? They're asking me, where do you want to take this city? What do you believe are our challenges? What do you believe are our strengths? And how do you plan to build on those strengths? So we're looking forward to that conversation.
Let's have that conversation. What are our strengths and what are our weaknesses of the city?
Well, if you talk to the Chamber of Commerce and any economic development person in this city right now, they'll tell you the real driver of the city's economy is tourism. And that has become a surprising strength in Montgomery, Alabama.
Really has. Legacy Museum has really changed the game.
Legacy Museum has caused a set of eyes to focus on Montgomery, Alabama, and it's driving people to this city. We have the New York Times, literally, we have the New York Times name Montgomery one of the hot destinations in this country. Who would have imagined that? I've heard data that anywhere from 300,000 to 350,000 people have come to this city to visit since the EJI Legacy Museum and Memorial opened last year. I'm watching a series on PBS last week in the Reconstruction era, and Professor Gates, a longtime Harvard professor, comes to, is the guy who's hosting this. Well, he comes to Montgomery, Alabama, and he films part of it at the EJI Memorial. So I think that that's an incredible strength that we have right now. And the question is, how do we build on that? How do we take this newfound interest in Montgomery and turn it into investment from the business community and the philanthropic community? How do we take this newfound interest in Montgomery and turn it into social and intellectual capital for our city? Now, the second part of your question is, what's the big challenge? I think, as I talk to people around this city, and as I do my own inventory of what's been going on since I moved back here in 2014, I have to say that as a voter and as a candidate, the biggest threat that we're facing in this community is the poor quality of our schools. Now, I know crime is a problem.
Amen to that.
And I don't mean to minimize crime. I'm happy to talk about crime as much as people want today, but the reality is that the existential threat to Montgomery, Alabama, the thing that could keep us from being the city that we need to be, I believe, is education. The reason that 10,000 people have left this city in the last 10 years, the largest population loss in this state, the reason that if you talk to any of the corporate players in this community, they'll tell you they struggle to recruit executives here. If you talk to folks at Maxwell, they'll tell you they're struggling to get officers to come here now. It's because of our schools. It's because of the reputation of our schools. It's also because of the reality of our schools.
What would you do about it?
Well, let me try to outline where I'd like to see this city go in the next several years.
Okay.
I think everyone in your audience appreciates that today we have a county-run school system, so the mayor's hand is tied. The city has no formal institutional role in our schools. I think that we need to look at changing that. I think that
we have a city-run system?
Well, here's something. I think we can do one of two things, Dan. I think we can either look at reverting to a city-run system, but we may need to look at something a little bit more nuanced than that. I'm not convinced that today it's plausible to take the 50 schools or 49 schools that are in Montgomery city limits and just flip them from county to city. I'm not convinced that we'd get out of that what would be worth the effort. But here's something that I do want us to take a hard look at, and if I'm mayor, we are going to take a hard look at this. We need to take a look at Montgomery being the entity that is chartering schools in this community. We know there's been a conversation about taking some of the schools in Montgomery and having them chartered under the Alabama Accountability Act. Well, the conversation has been built around private foundations, particularly Montgomery Education Foundation playing that role. I'm very interested in assessing whether or not the city of Montgomery itself as a public authority should take on that role, and perhaps instead of it just being four schools over 4 years, maybe it needs to be 10 or 11 schools. Maybe we need to take the failing schools in this system and have the city of Montgomery in effect become the enabling entity for charterizing those schools. Those are all options I'm open to looking at, because I don't think we can just continue the status quo. I think if we keep waiting for things to magically change in Montgomery County, we're going to find that's the classic case of the more you do the same thing every day, you get the same results. I'm glad that we have some new folks on the school board. I think that's a positive thing, and I'm prepared to give them a chance to do their job. But I'm not convinced that we can achieve real results for the children in this system without having a dramatic reset. So I'm very open and interested in the city playing that role of leading these charters. I'm interested in something else. I do think we have to end the state intervention. If you have a state intervention in our schools, and one that has gone on now for 2 years, and we're told it may last for another 4 or 5 years, I think it makes it impossible to recruit a first-class superintendent. And with all due respect to the superintendent that we have, we all know we didn't have a national search for a first-class school superintendent in Montgomery. We need to have a national search for someone who can come in and has a track record of turning around systems that are struggling. You're not going to get that kind of candidate when you have to answer to a school board, the state superintendent of education, the intervention officer, the state board of education. I think that we've got to have the capacity to go out and say to a first-class talent around the country, we're committed to turning around Montgomery schools. We're committed to the business sector, the public sector, the philanthropic sector, parents, teachers, everyone investing in a dramatic new path forward. So a mayor is not going to be the superintendent. So it's not a great use of time for me to sit here and talk about these are the specific educational policy changes I'd like to see implemented. But I do think that we've got to have a dramatic reset in public education in this community. And as mayor of this city, I want to lead that conversation. And final point on this, I give Mayor Strange credit for understanding that the mayor has to be involved in education. And he's taken a lot of knocks and criticisms for that. A lot of folks have called into your show and other shows and said, well, why is the mayor talking about education? There's a county system. The mayor shouldn't be involved with this. What this mayor has understood correctly is that the future of this city is tied to the quality of our public schools. The decline and struggle that we've had in this community in the last 10 years, I think, is directly proximate to our public schools. So the mayor cannot sit on the sidelines, in my opinion.
News Talk 93.1 FM. Arturo Davis in the house, candidate for mayor, city of Montgomery. We're going to be back. Your question, comment, or viewpoint right after this.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's life. That's what the people say. Riding high in April. Shot down in May, but I know I'm gonna change that tune when I'm back on top in June.
Giving voice to liberty in our time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Dog is man's best friend, and while you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and Holly's Home Furnishings are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Think of Holly's Home Furnishings for your new furniture. You'll be glad you did. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can. from Blue Water Broadcasting and Hawley's Home Furnishings.
For more information on the Paw It Forward Pet Drive, go to newstalk931.com.
The Marshall Tucker Band is coming to the Montgomery Performing Arts Center, and News Talk 93.1 wants you to win tickets before they're gone.
Gonna take a freight train.
The 3 Men and a Lady Morning Show with Greg, Jay, Emily, and Rich all week long to win tickets to see the Marshall Tucker Band at the Impact on April 25th. Tickets to the Marshall Tucker Band at the Montgomery Performing Arts Center April 25th from News Talk 93.1.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. That's 4% cash back on We Scream for ice cream.
Oh, I want strawberry.
And 4% while you're screaming at the amusement park. The Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. Now, when you and the family go out, you cash in. Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Attention, Yards of America. Now you have a holiday, too. Toro Days at the Home Depot. With the best prices of the season on the latest Toro push mowers, zero-turn mowers, blowers, trimmers, and more. To celebrate, come in now for our lowest prices on any Toro lawnmower or blower. Today is the day for doing. So get outside and enjoy the holiday. Happy Toro Days with the best prices of the season, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offers valid April 18th through May 1st.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are. Arturo Davis in the house, candidate for mayor. Great city of Montgomery. Let's go to the phones and go to Clint. Clint, welcome aboard the Demo Show. You're on with Arturo Davis.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call again.
Sure.
Mr. Davis.
Yes, sir.
My question is, you said officers don't want to come to Mexico Air Force Base because of the education.
Well, I'm only quoting General Cotton. I'm only quoting the Commandant of Maxwell, who said in an interview several months ago that got a lot of attention, that there are ranking officers who, instead of coming to Maxwell to enroll in the continuing education program or presumably coming there to teach at their war college, that they are expressing concern about the quality of schools in Montgomery. So I'm only quoting, and I'm happy to acknowledge that I'm quoting General Cotton, the Commandant at Maxwell Air Force Base.
So, Maxwell does not have a DOD school or gunner.
Okay.
So, therefore, there's kids have to go to a Montgomery public school.
That's
correct.
If they live in Montgomery limits,
that's right.
A lot of people at Maxwell do not live in Montgomery.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Which by itself is part of the problem, the fact that, you know, the value of Maxwell is obviously so many layers in this city, but one of the great values of Maxwell is that it draws people and talent to our community who otherwise would not be here but for Maxwell. Now, what I have seen and what so many people in this community have seen in the last 20 or 25 years, those individuals, when they do come to Maxwell, are increasingly not living in city limits. And, of course, as we know from looking at the profile of our workforce in this community, nearly 50% of the jobs in Montgomery, Alabama, are held by people who do not live in the city but who commute here.
Right.
And I think
Mainly because of education.
So I think that it's not just Maxwell, but Maxwell is an incredible manifestation of this problem, that a lot of people within the Montgomery community aren't buying into the city of Montgomery enough to live here.
All right. You answered that question pretty good, sir. Yes, you did.
Thanks for the telephone call, Clint.
Thank you, sir. You guys have a great day.
I appreciate it.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Bud. Bud, welcome aboard the Demo Show. You're on with Arturo Davis.
Good afternoon, Mr. Davis. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm fine, sir. Thank you.
I don't know if you will remember me, But 4 years ago, when you were running for mayor, I was running for Montgomery City Council, District 2. My name is Bud Epps, and you and I sat on your office there on Zelda and everything.
Yes.
Had some wonderful conversations about our vision, what hopefully we could accomplish together in Montgomery. And let me just say this. You have piqued my interest as far as what you're talking about with the charter schools, but I do have a couple of concerns that I want you to relay those to you. And
sure.
I'm sure you have folks that are there listening on your staff that might be able to research this. But first of all, 3 or 4 months ago, there was an effort to change 4 established schools, convert them into a charter school program.
Yes.
And that failed. And there is no way in the world you cannot convince me that that was an established. There was a design behind getting the budget, the contracts to the Board of Education on a Saturday, and they were going to vote on that on Monday. And so they said, we don't have enough time to review that contract, all these contracts. And so they voted that down.
Yes.
I really have the best way to put this. I'll just put it out there so the goats can get to it. You can't convince me that the Montgomery County Board of Education does not have a vested interest in denying charter schools. It's almost like asking them to put a knife to their own throat. Not all of them, many of them, the majority of them, I don't know, but there's a vested interest to retain their power. And so they are not going to go willingly into a charter school program that will allow them to give up control of the Montgomery County school system when one of the main reasons that we were put under Alabama State control was because of the micromanagement of the Montgomery County Board of Education in the day-to-day operations of the school system. And so there would need to be a way that, and I don't know if this is a state law, how this would involve, but you can have the best of intentions, and I think your intentions are good at heart, but it comes down to then how can we have, if we really care about the children, how can we divorce the board education, even though charter schools would, to a large extent, come under their control, without giving up the control, without them feeling threatened? I guess, does that make any sense?
It does, and let me jump in at this point, because I think you're asking some very important questions that I think, frankly, a lot of candidates in this race have managed to avoid addressing, so I want to be as direct as I can with you and your audience today. Let me tell you why I think charter schools have to be an option in Montgomery, Alabama. Not the only option, why they have to be an option. Under Alabama law, the only way local school districts can avoid some of the bureaucracy of state government, the only way local school districts can make real move toward more accountability for teachers and principals, the only way that local school districts can dramatically change their curriculum, the only way local school districts can dramatically change the involvement of the private sector in public school systems in terms of getting the business community involved, the only way any of these good things can happen under Alabama law right now is if schools go the route of charterization. Now, look, do I wish there was a wider pathway for schools to be innovative in Alabama? Yes, I do. Do I wish that we had a law in Alabama that said that school districts can have reforms without having to call themselves charters? Yes, I do. But as mayor, I'm not a state legislator. I have to deal with the law as it is crafted. I'm not going to have the capacity to change it. So under Alabama law as it is today, the one pathway that's left for schools to be innovative and to try new things happens to be charters. So let's start with that proposition. Now, leading from that proposition, I think these schools in Montgomery have got to try some new things. And we could have a 2-hour show on nothing but this topic. But when I talk to teachers and parents in this community, I'm hearing about textbooks that don't go past George W. Bush. I'm hearing about curriculums that don't reflect the modern reality of this city. I'm hearing about schools that lack adequate vocational training because state law has moved in a direction against vocational training in the last 20 years. I'm hearing about schools that act as if every child in this community is going to go on to Alabama, Auburn, or Vanderbilt, or Princeton, when the reality is only 31% of people in our community in Montgomery have a college education. Another 3% have a master's degree. When two-thirds of the people... Yes, sir.
May I throw one other thing in there?
Yes, please.
I graduated from Lee in 1982. There were 66,000 students in the Montgomery Public School System in 82. I might be off by several hundred, but if you look at today's enrollment, there's approximately 22,000 students in the Montgomery County Public School System right now. But yet, there is a doubling of the total payroll personnel on the Montgomery County school system. We have created such a hierarchy, a central board structure. We've taken teachers out of the school system and we've put them in the central office and put titles behind their names. And we put so much payroll outside of the actual school, the classroom. You know, in addition to having that ability to be able to, with charter school systems, you don't necessarily have to follow when you have tenure, it takes such an act of God to get rid of a bad teacher. We waste so much payroll where it has no direct influence on the student in itself.
Let me interrupt you, but a lot of things you're talking about, sir, have nothing to do with the mayor.
Yes, sir, I appreciate that. Thank you.
But let me sneak in this quick observation because the mayor is relevant to this conversation. And the mayor is the one elected official in this city that the whole city votes for. And when 49 of the 50 schools now in the Montgomery Public School System are in city limits, the mayor has a very important bully pulpit. So that's why I think it's important. It's inconceivable to me that the next mayor of this city is not going to be involved in this debate. So what I'm trying to be is a candidate who makes it clear and transparent about what I want to see in public education, important.
Okay, well, so what do we do about it? Do you get legislators to try to change state laws to make it where it would be helpful for Montgomery?
Well, first thing I'm going to do is try to work with the law as we have it. Now, there are some changes I'd like to see the legislature make, but let's start for time's sake with the law as it is now. We have the ACA. We have the charters as the one path toward innovation. I happen to think that the city of Montgomery...
But we're talking about a handful of students when we're talking about charters.
Well, that depends on what our vision is. And if we're only talking about one school a year over 4 years, you're right. I think that we have to look at a larger number of schools potentially being charterized and look at the city of Montgomery being the chartering entity. But we've also got to have something broader than that. We've got to have a community-wide conversation about how to make public education better.
Would you be open that if you did have a city school system that anybody who is teaching someone, you would have to change the state law for this, you would give them a base salary and of X number of dollars, and then the city, the school, if they wanted to, could add money to it to try to privatize, and basically it would bypass the voucher program.
Well, here's what I'd like to see. What I'd like to see is an option for teachers, and I'd like to have an option for teachers to say, we're going to go into a system where we don't have all the protections under tenure we're accustomed to, but we're going to make more money and have more responsibility. And if for some reason teachers want to be more risk-averse and say we're going to opt to make less money than what we possibly could make under the other alternative but stick with the tenure protections, I want to leave that up to teachers to make that choice. But at the end of the day, I think this comes down to a question of whether or not we're bold enough in Montgomery, Alabama to understand that what we've got is not working. I'm going to make this very direct point to your audience. We've got about, I think the number's a little bit higher than Blaise, I think it's around 28,000 children in the Montgomery Public School System. The overwhelming majority of these children are low-income African-American kids, particularly if you take the six magnets out of the equation. And when we talk about schools that are failing, we're talking about schools that are failing low-income black kids in this community. So we've got to understand that this system is not working in the way that it needs to for these kids today. The curriculum is not working the way that it needs to. And we've got to have a dramatic redesign of our public schools in Montgomery, in my opinion, to get a better product.
Yeah, and see, and that's where I think the answer is a dramatic redesign and getting the state to take the current laws and some legislators are open to this. They need to look at communities separately, not as an entirety of the entire state. If you could change some of the laws and specify for Montgomery, I think you could have a kick-butt education system. But you'd have to add money to it, and you'd have to get government out of it.
And here's how we can begin to move on that pathway. We can move on a pathway toward excellence in Montgomery Public Schools if the leadership in this community, business, civic, and political, come to the table and they go to the state of Alabama and say, here's our plan to have a dramatic turnaround in these schools. Some of it will involve charters. Some of it won't involve charters. All of it will involve a higher standard of excellence and accountability. That's the language this community has to use. But I'll tell you what I don't like. When I'm driving from our house in Grove Park to the Perry Hill Road exit, I pass Vaughn Road Elementary, obviously, every time I make that pathway. Wonderful school. I see this sign, which of course is at all the schools in Montgomery now, that says that MPS moving forward with accreditation. And we're acting as if we should be patting ourselves on the back that we have preserved our accreditation. For all the parents in this audience, a lot of you just finished prom weekend. That's like your kid getting home at 2 o'clock on Saturday night and saying, hey, I'm drunk, but I'm alive. Give me something, increase in my allowance or something because of that. We can't have these expectations that, oh, we secured our accreditation. Let's not just pat ourselves on the back. Let's stick it on every sign in Montgomery Public Schools. That's not excellence. We've got to have a standard that says we want to succeed. We want to compete with the Auburn Public Schools and the Huntsville Public Schools, not this bottom line bargain basement. Oh, thank God we kept our accreditation.
Talking about a low standard. That is a low standard. News Talk 93.1, Arturo Davis in the house. Steve, J-Dub, Flowchild coming back to you right after this.
The strong survive, they stay alive, they're always cool, but that they never teach you.
The Dan Morris Show.
Are you mad enough, big and bad enough? Are you gonna let them shoot you down? When they even fly and your brother cries, are you gonna be around? Someone needs a friend just around the bend. Don't you think you should be there? Are you mad enough when you're going gets rough? Is it in your heart to care? Are you mad enough? Big and bad. Are you big and bad enough? Are you gonna let them shoot you down? When the evil flies in your brother's surprise, are you gonna be around?
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Are you tired of waiting on that credit union or bank to call you back? I'll tell you why. Those credit unions and banks are busy doing things other than mortgages. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, where we do mortgages. That's all we do, so we do it better. We are brokers, not bankers. What does that mean? Simply put, it means more money in your pocket. We have exclusive access to the very best rates and programs offered. Let us shop for you. Come on, y'all. If you were having chest pains, you wouldn't call a foot doctor. You would call a heart specialist, right? You should treat your mortgage with the very same standard of care. Whether you're looking to purchase or refinance your home, don't waste another minute. Call the mortgage specialist at Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see the Alabama Home Mortgage difference. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Fox News, I'm Jay Metzler. Tuesday's a national day of mourning in Sri Lanka. Nearly 300 people, including several Americans, killed in a series of Easter Sunday bombings. Today, President Trump saying,
it's a terrible thing. I just spoke with the Prime Minister. I spoke with the various government officials, and we are working with Sri Lanka.
The Trump Organization refusing to comply with a congressional subpoena, demanding financial documents, also filing a lawsuit.
This after House Oversight Committee Chair Elijah Cummings sent a request to President Trump's accounting firm for years of financial documents. In a complaint in federal court in Washington, President Trump's attorneys argue the subpoena lacks legislative purpose.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. Chelsea Manning stays in jail for contempt. A unanimous decision by a federal appeals court. Manning refusing to tell a grand jury what she knows about Julian Assange. This is Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com. Montgomery Subaru.
What a great forecast to start our week. We have a nice string of days ahead. Today, sunshine. It will be warmer with a high temperature up to about 82. Tonight, mostly clear. Not quite as cool. Overnight, low temperature down to about 54. Tomorrow, a mostly sunny day. How about mid-80s tomorrow? Near 60 tomorrow night. Up to about 84 Wednesday with partly cloudy skies. Still dry. Then widely scattered showers coming in Thursday afternoon. But a better chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday night into Friday. The pollen count medium to high today and in the medium range tomorrow. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Prime South Bank is here to give you more bank for your buck. You'll find the conveniences of digital tools, plus more ways to stretch your dollar than those big national banks. It's a great way to enjoy prime living. Visit them in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Arturo Davis in the studio. Question, comment, viewpoint? Well, you better call. Folks, I got to brag on Mr. Electric. Terry came out and got my lights installed Friday, but it was a pleasure to have my new security system and lights up and operating. As I told you at the opening of the show, Ben Campbell came in and took the old security light out from Alabama Power. And I tell you what, these LED lights are just spectacular. Great advice from Terry on what to get and how to do it. But you need to call Mr. Electric. You need to have this number in your phone. 334-269-8886. 269-8886. Mr. Electric, they are great. Let's go to the phones and go to Flower Child. Flower Child, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Dan. Mr. Davis, as I sit and listen, it sounds like you're more for merit-based teaching instead of tenure.
Well, here's what I'd like to see. I'm not obviously saying that we should have a world where teachers can be fired willy-nilly at someone's whim, but the way that we've constructed tenure in this system
is
that essentially to remove a teacher from
you
the classroom...
You have to commit murder.
Or sleep with a child. That's always an easy route. You have to be found to have engaged in some kind of misconduct, or you have to be proved to be grossly incompetent. Now, the reality is... Under administrative law, finding someone to be grossly incompetent is near impossible. So you can't remove teachers. I'll give you one little example if I can. About a week ago, my wife came to me and said and asked if I would sort of help with a homework assignment for the child of a friend of hers. And it was a history teacher here in Montgomery. And I won't say enough details to kind of give away potentially the teacher of the school, but it was a set of questions that had been given to the student in a Montgomery public high school, that is a public school, about the separation of powers between the president and the Congress and the courts. It became clear to me after looking at the questions, teacher herself didn't understand it. Yep. The teacher was asking for things that couldn't be answered because the whole premise of the question was wrong. Like one of the questions was, how does the president pass a law without Congress? Well, the president can't pass a law without Congress. Really? I'm assuming that what the teacher was fishing for was executive order, but that's not passing a law. Yep. So I'm sitting here, if I'm a child in this classroom...
You're confused.
The teacher is confused. So I cannot sit here, and I love teachers. My mom was a teacher. My mother-in-law is a teacher. I've known plenty of teachers. But I can't sit here and tell you that the teachers in our school system are always performing at the standard our children deserve. And I think we've got to take advantage of some things in Alabama law that enable us to get bad teachers into another line of work and to get good teachers in the classroom.
Another line of work within the public school system or another line of work, period?
Well, I'm making a sort of colloquial point there. I'm not interested in seeing bad teachers experiment on our children. Okay. I'm interested in seeing teaching be a profession where you reward excellence. I just happen to believe in that. And I don't think good teachers are afraid of that.
Well, you're not suggesting the dance of the lemons, where you take the lemon teachers and you move them, just keep moving them around and put them in.
No,
the
I absolutely don't agree with that. And you're correct, Dan. As a lot of people, as a lot of parents in this audience know, we have a little bit of a problem in Montgomery and some other school districts that when a teacher doesn't cut it at Park Crossing, they say, okay, let's send them to Bellengrath. And they don't cut a Bellengrath, send them to alternative school. This is not a system where basically you have a fallback option that's to go to a school, it happens to be a little bit lower down the socioeconomic scale because you were failing when you were teaching kids at a higher place on the scale. That's wrong. I think that I'm sure somebody's wondering, why are we talking about education so much?
It's vital.
It is vital to the future of this community.
If we had a great education system, this city would be booming.
If we had the system we had when I was in school, I come out of Montgomery Public Schools. I spent a little bit of my time in private schools, but I went to Danley, Cloverdale, and Jeff Davis. Danley, Cloverdale, and Jeff Davis positioned me to go to Harvard and have the highest average in the political science department, positioned me to go to Harvard Law School and win the moot court competition, positioned me to be a congressman by the time I was 35. And you can find success stories like that in Montgomery Public Schools up until around 2002, 2001.
Bingo.
After 2001, 2002, you find that only kids coming out of the magnets have gone on to high levels of achievement.
There you go.
We've got to fix that.
Thanks for the telephone call. Let me go to J-Dub. J-Dub, welcome aboard. You're on with Artur Davis.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Very good, my friend. Are you enjoying this pretty day?
Absolutely. Just got through washing my car.
Well, I'll send mine over. You can wash mine.
Come on over. I'll be ready waiting on you. Mr. Davis,
good
to hear you on the radio again. I heard you mention earlier that you were concerned about making a good selection for a superintendent, getting a first-class selection. The best of my knowledge is that the school board had a company to select their superintendents. I know of at least three occasions, and most of them turned out to be a disaster. I was just wondering, what do you think, who would you use or ask to use to get a good superintendent? What company would you use?
Well, let me tell you what I would like to see. I think we need to have a real conversation in this community about a joint management authority of our schools where the mayor does play a formal role and where the mayor is involved in the selection process for the superintendent. I don't think it's so much about the company you hire, because there are a number of companies that purport to do this work. The decisions are ultimately made by the elected officials. I will be direct with you. We have had too much of a fixation in Montgomery County on finding superintendents who are politically amenable to this community and not finding superintendents who are going to come in and crack some eggs and break some glass, if I can throw a bunch of metaphors together, and be committed to dramatic change. If you are going to make a fundamental change in your institution, you've got to bring in a leader who, frankly, is not afraid of being unpopular, who's not afraid of getting fired by the school board. You've got to have someone who's willing to come in and say, I'm going to outline the changes, I'm going to work with you on building those changes, but we are going to put these children's interests first. I do not believe we have had a true nationwide quality search for a school superintendent in memory in Montgomery. Too often, the strategy has been, find me the best person in the building, or find me a person who already knows the people on the school board. We have got to have a commitment to bring in first-class talent to help us turn these schools around.
We certainly pay them enough to do that.
Second question. How do you feel about vocational education?
Well, we need to have more of it, and I'll repeat something I said earlier. The reality is we have to understand that the overwhelming majority of kids in our system aren't going to go on to four-year institutions. A number are going to go to two-year institutions. A number are going to go directly to the workforce. I want to make sure that at a minimum, a child coming out of schools in Montgomery is able to get a top quality job at the businesses we have in Montgomery. And that requires a stronger vocational component, requires a stronger skills-based component. One little data point I want to throw at you. 40% of the children who graduate, and I feel weird calling 18-year-olds children, but 40% of the seniors who graduated our system 2 years ago, 40% of them were not basic eighth grade reading and math level. when 40% of your seniors are not exceeding basic eighth grade reading and math levels, your system is not producing people who can do the work in this community as it currently exists, much less position us to go out and compete for high-wage jobs. You know, several weeks ago, there was a story in the news about Auburn expanding the GE aviation plant that makes jet engines. How in the world does Montgomery, which has Maxwell Air War College, fail to get GE to come here to build jet engines instead of going to Auburn, which does not have that defense pedigree? We know the reason is because of our schools.
They do have aerospace, big aerospace.
Well, they're building one, but this is my point. We should have been building that. We should have been
doing that. I'm saying that Auburn University has one of the best aerospace graduate programs in the country.
Yes, but we're 45 minutes from them, and we have more infrastructure than Auburn, and we have Maxwell Air War College. What we ought to be doing...
They have a good school system.
Well, that's the difference, because what we could be doing is partnering with Auburn University to create a new aerospace high-tech corridor between here and Auburn. The reason that Auburn wouldn't want to join us in that partnership today is we would be holding them down. If we went to Auburn today and went to the new mayor of Auburn and said, why don't we form a partnership to go after high-tech jobs, Auburn would say, you're going to be the ones pulling us down. Now, that's inexcusable to me. I want to change that equation.
Well, again, going back to the state, if trying to get the state to tailor-make some legislation that fits Montgomery, that, to me, would be the biggest first step you can have. You can have a great superintendent, but if you have a screwed-up school system, they're just working with a leaky boat.
And let me pick up on that point, Dan, because I do think it's very important. I think that you shouldn't have to call yourself a charter to make fundamental changes in our schools. The reason we're having to fixate on charters is because Alabama law does not allow other pathways to change.
Yeah.
If I'm mayor, I'm going to work with the other big city mayors to form a coalition to allow local school districts more flexibility without having to call themselves charters. So I will take on that role of, frankly, lobbying the legislature with my colleagues around the state to give local school districts more flexibility than they have, without having to call themselves a particular label.
News 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We're going to go to a quick break. John DeVoe coming back to you right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Okay, 84, hang on there, buddy. Put the screwdriver down. Don't injure yourself. Waiting on John DeVoe. Let's go to the phones and go to John DeVoe. John DeVoe, I'm not going to play your warm-up music, but I'm going to keep you on a timer here. What do you have?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Joey.
Hi, John.
Hello, Congressman David.
Hey, Mr. DeVoe. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Peace and blessings to you all and the entire listening audience. What kind of steward of the city's finances would you be? When Mayor Farmer left office, the city was in $45 million worth of debt. When Bobby Bright left office, the city was in $221 million worth of debt. And the city is currently at around $300 million worth of debt. If you were elected under your administration, do you see the city's debt level going up or down? And if it increased, what could you see increasing it for, going into more debt for? And then where would you get the money, you know, what institutions would you buy that money from?
John, I think that's a very fair question, and you're actually pretty much dead on with your facts in terms of what the debt level has been and how it's gone up. I do want to say this, though. It's easy to sit here as a candidate and say, oh, Montgomery's deeply in debt, and I'm going to change that. The reality is that our debt level is still less than Huntsville, it's still less than Birmingham, and I think it's less than Mobile. So I think that is an important point of context that needs to be made. When I look at the city debt level, though, this is the biggest thing that I take from it. The level of indebtedness we have as a community is preventing us from doing some of the aggressive financing that we would ideally want to do to deal with blight, that we would ideally want to do to recruit really high-quality jobs to this city. When you already have a large level of debt, it means that it's hard to go out and to do new kinds of financing in the future for new projects that we may want to do as a community. And I will say this. I'm not quite clear how a lot of the expansion and debt in the last 15 years in Montgomery has necessarily improved this city. You can go back and literally find articles in the archives of the Montgomery Advertiser that talk about how we were taking out new levels of financing and increasing our debt to pay for particular projects. Well, I found an article that was written in 2010 that talked about four projects. This new museum that was supposed to be created between downtown and Maxwell, this innovation hub on the Southern Boulevard, this some other project in West Montgomery, there's another project to build factories in North Montgomery. Not one of those things came to fruition. So literally, we expanded our level of debt to finance four projects, none of which came to fruition. So I do think going forward, we've got to figure out how do we have more transparency around dollars in Montgomery. I give the current administration credit for the fact that it's easier now to access the city's budget online than it would have been 6 or 7 years ago. But the reality is we don't have enough scrutiny of our budget process. I know it's different from our debt process, but it relates to the question of public accountability. If I become mayor of this city, I'm going to have 8 months to build my own budget for 2020. What I'm going to do is to have public town hall meetings on my proposed budget. I'm going to go with the finance director to have town hall meetings, invite the city council.
Would you keep our current finance director?
Well, I can't make a commitment to keep anybody as I hadn't won the job yet, but I'll tell you the standard that I will apply. For the mayor's cabinet, the test is going to be very simple. Can I find somebody better than you for the job? And if I'm convinced that you're the best person for the job, then it makes sense that you have a chance to stay. If I'm convinced I can find somebody better, then it makes sense to give them a chance. Now, I think that standard, fairly applied, will create some continuity and will create some change. But I think that it's very important that the budget process have more transparency and that the whole community be engaged in it. So we're going to have periodic meetings around this community next summer to talk about the budget for this city if I become mayor.
John, thanks for the telephone call. Our police force and our numbers have been steadily going down, and we're in a very bad situation in the 470 category doing split 12-hour shifts. What would you do? Are you concerned about that? And if you are, what would you try to do about it?
Then we have fewer police officers now than we did during the 2015 campaign, and I can't understand that for the life of me when that was one of the big issues in 2015, that we needed to expand our police force. We've gone from 509 in 2015 to the 470s or 480s right now. I can't understand how we've gone backward when it comes to our commitment to law enforcement. That is an area where I frankly disagree with the mayor. So here's what I want to do.
Well, the mayor will tell you he's got the money. He cannot find the officers. He cannot keep the officers. Well, I ask him that every once a month.
Here's what I want to do. I think we need to dramatically expand the size of our police force. I think that we need to, over the next 4 years, move closer to having 700 officers on that force. We're around 479, 80, 81 right now. My first budget as mayor, we're going to add a minimum 50 police officers. My second budget, we're going to add another 50. That will give us 100 in the first 2 years of my term, and we'll see where we are at that point.
The money's already there. It's already been budgeted. I mean, you can add 50 officers right now and then get the federal program to add some. Todd just has said that they cannot make the commitment that they can stay at the standard to receive the federal money.
What that says to me is that we've got to do a better job on retention. We've got to do a better job on getting police officers who are qualified to stay with this police department. We've got to do a better job of getting officers to leave other communities to come here. Right now,
that's a money issue there.
Right now, we're training people.
Issue.
We are training people to work for the Auburn Police Department. The Montgomery Police Department is becoming a trainer for people who want to go to Hoover, Alabama.
Right.
I want to see our police department be a magnet that draws good law enforcement officers here. That means retention policies that are stronger than what we've got. It means quality of life programs for police officers and their families. It means giving police officers and their families first stake when it comes to acquiring blighted homes that are being rebuilt in certain neighborhoods. And it means giving a police department to this community that's responsive to the concerns of the officers within that department.
I'm not sure if I know too many police officers that would want to live in a blighted home.
Well, I'm saying as we rebuild them and we refinance them, it's not just enough to tear down.
Most of those
are
in communities that they wouldn't want to be in.
Well, but here's something interesting that we ought to think about. You can't just tear down homes. You got to rebuild blighted homes.
Right.
As we rebuild these neighborhoods and we finance people to come in and commit to turn neighborhoods around, I want to give police officers and firefighters the first crack of that opportunity.
Let me get this last call in. Randy, you're on with Artur Davis.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to chime in on you were talking about the schools. There's a school here in Montgomery, for instance. First of all, it starts with the leadership with home and these teachers that are being hired here in our school system, but they pretty much are non-qualified, a lot of them. That's one issue that I comment. The other one I'd like to talk about is that, for instance, there's a county school out here that the kids were caught having sex in the back of the school, smoking vape pens. My kid goes to that school. This is a 7th, 8th grade middle school we're talking about.
Okay, we gotta hurry up. Go ahead.
Okay, my comment is,
Let me quickly jump in for time's sake and say this.
Okay.
There is no question in this community that we have to do a better job of helping young people who get in trouble when they're 13, 14, and 15 than we're doing. That's a little bit different what you're talking about, but we've got to reach out there when these kids get in trouble at an early age and have more aggressive programs to intervene in their lives. We got to bring the churches into that conversation. We got to bring the school in that conversation. We got to bring the police department to that conversation. It's a very important priority.
Arturo, thanks for being in here. We're going to have you back here. Randy, thanks for the cell phone call. Audience, thank you so very much. Joey, thank you for a great show.
Good show today. Yeah.
Guys, be good, be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. Greg Budeau, the great, he's next. Adios.